He's variously known as a hunter or a trader, and it's possible that he came to this area with a few other family members. But the problem that we have doing historical research on him is he didn't read or write. And we know that because we actually have his marriage record where he simply put an X for his mark. So finding out information about him in the historical record has proven to be very difficult, and most of what's out there is highly conjectural. So when we had the opportunity to potentially work on the location that he may have built his first house on, his first cabin, would have been a log cabin, we decided that sounded like an interesting project, and we started to work there in 2005. But what's Blanchette settled here about 1769. He died in 1793, and we have the church records for that. And he was buried here in St. Charles. When we first announced that we had possibly found his homestead site, it made headlines across Canada, which was interesting to me. The headlines generally went something like French Canadian done good in Missouri, and that's kind of how they worded it up there. But it went coast to coast in Canada, and that was kind of fun.
Did he come from Canada? Is that where he was before going to Missouri?
Yes, he was born about an hour's drive south of Quebec City. And the town that he is from is still there. There is still some land that is family land. And I was in Quebec City this last January for a large archaeological conference, and I've been in touch with a genealogical society. It's the Blanchette Genealogical Society. And they have done a lot of research up there into the family. They don't know as much about him as they do the family, but there's still family land holdings up there. And apparently his grandfather is literally one of the first French colonizers to settle in Canada.
Let's go to the research that you're doing right now, and you had a big discovery, as you mentioned, and now you've discovered possibly the living floors for the homes that were on this site?
We have found two floors, dirt or earth floors. They're both about 3 feet underground right now, and one of them we believe dates or belonged to Louis Blanchette. And this summer, we were running another archaeological field school, and we were hoping to find some more edges or, you know, the walls of this floor. And unfortunately, we didn't find walls, but we did expand the size of the building. We just haven't gotten out to the edges of it yet. We have two walls and the east and west wall, but I don't have the north and south wall. So I don't know how long this structure was, which makes it more difficult to figure out exactly what this building was used for. But this building has French colonial ceramics in this living floor, and as well as a lot of other ceramics, mostly British made, but all very early, late 1700s, early 1800s is the common period for use for those British ceramics. So it fits pretty well with the French colonial stuff. And we also have a hearth. It's like a fireplace, but it's more of an open structure that was outlined in stones in the middle of this floor, with some bone and some ash and animal bone and ash and those sorts of things around it. So unfortunately, I didn't get full dimensions on the building this year, but maybe some other time we'll be able to figure that out, and then we'll be able to hopefully have a better understanding of what this building was used for.
And the floor, the way I've understood it, you have determined that the floor was sloped, and does that give you some clues as to what was going on there?
It's actually opened. The fact that the floor is sloped and rather heavily sloped has opened more questions than it's provided answers for us. The slope of the floor is definitely odd, and this slopes upwards towards the east, And it's the east wall that has no evidence of actually having a wall there. It looks like it was open air on that side of the building. It's the west side that we have a post on stone foundation. And it, in other words, it would slope from the open end, where we don't see evidence of a wall, down towards the post on stone wall, which means if it rains, water's running in that direction. So I don't have any explanation for that right now, and we're certainly doing some research in other French colonial archaeological sites around North America to see if other people have some similar types of buildings. And so far, nobody's told me they have some such similar situation.
I know a lot of times when you're dealing with sites, especially ones that are this old, there's always the concern of possible development or something that would prevent you from being able to do the research. These sites right now, where are they located? Are they on private property, and are they threatened in some way?
Well, that's a fantastic thing to discuss, because this is in an urban environment, and all too often, archaeologists and others think that because there's been buildings and development and changes to the surface of the ground and so forth, that the archaeology is no longer there, that it's been destroyed by all the movement of the earth for various purposes. And, of course, I was concerned about that when I came to this site. In particular, I was concerned because this property used to be a garden shop where they planted all kinds of plants in the ground and then dug them up again and then planted some more and dug them up again. I was wondering just exactly what we were going to find. It turns out, though, that maybe that garden shop was something like a blessing in disguise, because they added a fair amount of soil when they were planting all these nice plants and things. You know how you had topsoil and mulch and those sorts of things. This property's also been a private residence and a retail establishment, which is what it has been most recently, a retail establishment. But luckily, no major construction was done in this area. And it's in urban environments, it's being shown now again and again and again that there are pockets of intact archaeological deposits, even in places like downtown St. Louis, downtown Chicago, even with these massive skyscrapers, there are still large and oftentimes very significant pockets of intact archaeological materials. And this is one of those cases.